You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
It's not true.
You're listening to Making Tracks and a very special Star Wars Podcast Day 2024 episode. I'm Mark Newbold, and joining me today is a man who is my very own personal Phantom Menace. Hello, Mark.
Now there's two of them, but which one is the master and which one's the apprentice? That is a question. How's
I'm very good. I'm very good. Unlike the visage that you can see, which is not for podcast ears, I'm fine. It's been busy. The site's ticking over nicely, and there's loads and loads of Star Wars news. And it's Star Wars podcast. Well, it's not actually podcast day. That was a couple of days ago. But it's Star Wars podcast week, let's say.
Week.
7th of February 1999 is the day it all kicked off with Jedi Talk. So we're here 25 years later, still celebrating that momentous day, which is very cool because there's us and there's loads and loads of other podcasts, and there's four other Fantha Tracks podcasts putting shows out as well. So it's been a very busy little run. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, just back from Europe, just a whistle-stop tour, I should say, with my band Elixir. We went to Athens and had a great time and stuff. I think it's quite appropriate when you think about it that they started off as Star Wars Podcast Day. But now, all this time later, it's, you know, there's so many Star Wars podcasts that there isn't enough time in one day to kind of get through them all. So you need a whole week. And that, I think, is awesome.
I mean, last year, I think we put three shows out. I think this is our third Star Wars podcast day as Making Tracks, isn't it?
I think so.
If I remember.
Yeah.
And this year, there's us, there's Planet Leia, there's Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and Start Your Engines. And so we could have put them all out on one day, but that would have kind of felt like a bit of a rush and a mad one, and nobody would have a chance to listen to them. So we decided to put one out for 5 days. So we are Saturday, and tomorrow it's Cannon Fodder. But yeah, I just think it's very cool. It's a cool thing to celebrate something so important in Star Wars history. So it's certainly Star Wars fan history anyway, the Star Wars podcast day.
And talking about important things in like Star Wars fan history, for people who may have just picked up and downloaded this episode for the first time and who may not be familiar with Fantha Tracks, why don't you give everybody like the lowdown as to what Fantha Tracks is and how long it's been going on for?
Fantha Tracks has been going since the 31st of October 2017, just over 6 years old. We intend every day really to bring the latest Star Wars news with interviews and reviews, podcasts, obviously, with our network here, with the shows that we've got going on. Social media is very, very, very busy. But yeah, we've been going 6 years and we've made a good fist of it. We're a busy site and we like to welcome people in and get people involved. There's always something Fantha related going on. But yeah, it's really a great, for us, it's a fun place to be because we get to lots of conventions. We're always going to events and we always see you with the Legion, the Rebel Legion, and different people around here, there, and everywhere. So it certainly keeps us busy.
And like you said, it is a new site. So, you know, we're lucky in that actually at the moment, in fact, we're very blessed at the moment that there is so much Star Wars news daily that there's always something to talk about. And that means that you can discuss it with people in the Facebook groups, on X or on the Instagram feeds and stuff. So there's always a discussion somewhere that you can kind of join in and share the positive Star Wars love. So with that in mind, what would you like to have a chat about for the remainder of this episode?
Well, it seems appropriate that on the 25th anniversary of Star Wars Podcast Day, this year we're also celebrating the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. 1999 was a big year for Star Wars, of course. November 1998 was when the trailer came out, and Phantom comes out May 19th. What do you think now in 2024? The world has changed. I'm talking about the Star Wars world has changed. And there's all the stuff on Disney Plus, and there's sequel trilogies come and gone and all the other things that have happened. And for the longest time, prequel trilogy movies were not looked at in the fondest light. Maybe they weren't given the nod that they should have got. And over the years, they've kind of been reappraised to the point where now people do tend to look on them quite fondly because Phantom Menace is 25 years ago. We're always celebrating the anniversary of something Star Wars related. So what do you make of that? And why do you think that's the case that now kids coming into the fandom now, learning their way around Star Wars, finding out about all these weird old things that happened in the 70s and the 80s. But when you get to the 90s, an era of Star Wars that's very still connected to us because of the Clone Wars, they almost can't believe that people, when those films came out, weren't so well received.
I mean, for me, I was, I could tell you exactly. I was 17 when Phantom Menace came out. I turned 18 about August. About 1999 year was definitely like the awakening of Star Wars fandom for me, much more on the internet. I mean, I can remember those, you know, that painful night of trying to download the Phantom Menace like teaser trailer, which took like 4 or 5 hours to download something which is probably now only about 50 megs, which should get downloaded now these days in like a couple of seconds. Different time back then. I think as Star Wars has always had an issue with, it's expectation and it's fan expectation. And I think the Phantom Menace is the very first victim of Star Wars' own success and the Star Wars marketing machine. I actually went in and I was very lucky that I managed to somehow book a seat at the Bracknell UCI I think it was a Thursday morning at like 9 o'clock. They had all 10 screens showing it. Everybody else seemed to go into another screen, but I was the only one in this had private screening, which was very, very surreal for, you know, a 17-year-old. And I sat there and I watched it. And I mean, I loved it. In fact, that day I saw it 3 times. And then the next day I saw it 3 more times. And then I think by the time the run had finished, I'd probably seen about 11 or 12 times. So I was very invested. But I went with other friends and I was like, that was rubbish or whatever. And it put me on the back foot, to be honest, because I was like, wow, did I see something that other people didn't see? And to be fair, that's just the initial reaction. But I think the initial reaction was derided too much by obviously like a negative reaction by the fans and the general public to stuff like Jar Jar. But I think with time has given people perspective. George did something very, very special. And the thing is, I've always kind of likened it a little bit to Marty McFly on that stage when he's playing Johnny B. Good in Back to the Future. And he's like, you guys aren't ready for it, but your kids are going to love it. And I think that is exactly what The Phantom Menace and the whole prequel trilogy was about. That's where we first start to get to see that actually Star Wars isn't just for the Generation 1 guys like yourself, but it's meant to be for everyone. It's not necessarily about appeasing the older fans. It's actually about trying to get the new fans inspired and tell fantastic stories that actually they can go and have their own Star Wars adventures in the playgrounds and stuff like I did when I was a kid. The Clone Wars has helped massively. It's really built up a whole era and it's kind of created other characters that are as loved as any of the original trilogy characters. It's surprising still to this day that it wasn't as well received as it was, but I'm glad that people are having a chance to kind of revisit it and kind of go, oh, yeah, actually, Mark did know what he was talking about back then.
You did. And I think it's probably the first thing, if you look back at it, it's the first Star Wars project that came out that made you realize that Star Wars, I mean, Star Wars had invaded pop culture and it was the movie version of Beatlemania. It was nothing like it had come before. And so when you come to do the next iteration, even though it's a prequel, but kind of the next run through of a trilogy and new characters, and you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle again. And at the time, I know I've told this story before, even on this podcast, but when I saw it in Vegas and went in and came out, and my first comment to my mate Paul as we walked across the car park was, what the was that? Because it didn't land with me at all.
Really?
And we were there in Vegas for 4 days. We were supposed to see it in LA and they messed up the hotel. So we should have gone and seen it at the Chinese and got in the line and done that whole thing. We were prepared to queue and they messed the hotel up. So we just stayed in Vegas for 4 days, saw the film 3 times in Vegas. And then we moved on to somewhere else. It was like a driving tour and saw it a couple of times. So by the time I came back to the UK at the end of May, I'd seen it 6 times at the cinema. Yeah. By the second time, like the next morning, it was like, oh, actually, you know, I enjoyed that more. And we'd been to Chicago, we picked up all the merch, we got the Art of book and the John Williams soundtrack, the novel, as much as we could get, bought loads and listened to the soundtrack, got a little CD portable CD thing with me then. So listen to the soundtrack, loved it. That's where I learned before I'd seen the film, Qui-Gon's not going to make it to the end credits, but hey-ho. You absorb it, absorb it, absorb it. And the more I watched it, the more I liked it, which thank goodness I couldn't, I've lost count of the amount of times I've seen Phantom Menace in the years since. I'm probably pushing 100 now. It's a regular watch for me. It never gets old. So my long-winded point, because I'm good at long-winded points, is that it was the first thing that made me think, well, Star Wars is for the long haul, because I'm watching this and it's not diminishing returns. I'm getting more out of it. And so when Attack of the Clones comes out, and we went back to the same, remember back to Vegas in 2002, went back to the same cinema, it was opening night. You say you saw it in a screen on your own. This is just about, I guess, 501st has just started in 99, isn't it? 98? Yeah. There's kids in Stormtrooper outfits, loads of lightsabers, nuts. You know, you see the beginning video, the end of it.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was just nuts like that. So we go and see Attack of the Clones. It's the same thing again. And go in and see that film and place goes nuts. Everybody loves it. And he came out going, that was more like it. That was more, and it was more of an immediate yeah. And then I don't think there's any doubt most people with any kind of discerning taste will come out of Revenge of the Sith and go, that was a bloody good film.
Yeah,
but I think Phantom was a tougher sell because you've got all this hype and this, you know, you're stacking that one film against the whole original trilogy and 16 years of anticipation for it to arrive. Never going to live up to that.
It never was. And do you know what? I've said this a few times to people. If it probably wasn't for the expanded universe, and the good and the bad and the downright terrible some of those stories were, but I consumed all the way through the early 90s up to The Phantom Menace, it might have been different. But because I'd very much steeped myself in expanded universe lore and it was a little bit more open, there wasn't times when I just stand around and just kind of speculate the way that we speculate now. I mean, I didn't really have anybody to speculate for.
No, that's true.
And the thing, and that was the thing, is also is like, I'd love to see what social media now would have made of a Phantom Menace back then if it was around. I mean, I don't think it would have made as much money, if I'm honest. I think, you know, I mean, yeah, me and you probably supported half of the budget by the amount of times we went to see it. There was a repeatability for a lot of us. And I sometimes feel, and I say this to a lot of people, some films that I come out and a little bit dubious about and then go back and rewatch it, they tend to be the films that stay with me longer. Whereas like, I think it's that slight, it's like too much dessert. Great the first time you have it, but if you have the same dessert over and over and again, you kind of get a bit bored of it and you don't get any nutrition out of it. But if there's a film that makes you think or challenges you a bit, Last Jedi, it has a tendency to reappraise it throughout time because you see it in different perspectives. And as like I said, with distance.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds. Bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
We lived with the original trilogy for 16 years. VHS copies were worn out by the time the Phantom Menace came out. There was more model work in the Phantom Menace than there was probably in the whole of the original trilogy.
There was, yeah.
There was that big focus on CGI, which was groundbreaking then. And to this day, I still think The Phantom Menace holds up better than Attack of the Clones. There's backlash because of that. It doesn't feel organic, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, yeah, but come on, guys. The story's pretty good. I mean, okay, there's a few parts in it that I'm just like, eh, you know, convenience of like, you know, accidental, you know, firing torpedoes at like power cores and Trade Federation thing. But you can go, well, that's no different really when you think about it to any of the Harry Potters. You look at a Harry Potter film, he's actually pretty crap. It's normally his friends who do all the heavy lifting and he just kind of like flukes it the last minute. So it's no different really from Anakin in some respects. The thing was, I got, and I think I appreciated what he was trying to do with Jar Jar. And whilst it wasn't exactly the tone that I would have liked as a 18-year-old angsty teenagers back then, I kind of appreciated it and realized that that actually was an aspect of Star Wars that wasn't really designed for me, but it's part of Star Wars. And I like what they did with Jar Jar later on and how it all kind of unravels with Jar Jar over the course of that prequel trilogy.
It's funny when you look at the prequels, they seem more immediately pitched at kids than you remember Star Wars Empire and Jedi being pitched at kids. And of course, Jedi had that whole thing of, thrown at it that it was just basically the Muppet Show in space, which was a bit unfair. And I always think Phantom and Jedi feel quite close in tone. There's a similarity to me anyway between the two films. But I think when Phantom came out, it was the film that really made you I was that little bit older than you were, but made you realise that, this film, it's a joy that I, at the time, as a near 30-year-old, can watch that movie and walk away. I admit freely, it took a couple of views to really cotton onto it and think, actually, I see what he's doing here. This is quite clever, actually. There's always the immediate things that grab you, like the pod race is still phenomenal now. The Ben and Maul fight after Qui-Gon's been taken down, that's phenomenal. So there's quite a few moments that are fantastic, and there's so many small, little, subtle, quiet moments that are really nicely played that you get a lot in A New Hope, but never kind of got in Empire or Jedi. New Hope's very sparse in places, and there's moments in Phantom that have that kind of Living It vibe, which I really like, and that's Lucas's direction, of course. One thing I want to ask you really is, when you see people on social media of varying ages talking about the prequel trilogy and saying, I don't believe those films were hated, and you kind of want to pile in going, oh my God, just get on the Wayback Machine and start mooching around. They were derided.
You weren't
like
there, man. You
exactly.
weren't there.
It feels gatekeepery. It's not. You know, if you were there, you were there, and you remember it how you remember it. But those films were bashed beyond belief. And of course, we all know about Ahmed. We all know about Jake and the troubles he had and all the other negative elements that sort of bobbled around the film. And later Hayden had a tough time because of basically doing what George asked him to do. And he did it to perfection, really, which is borne out even now by the work he's doing in Obi-Wan Kenobi and much more in Ahsoka. But what do you think of that? Do you think it's a point worth making to people who kind of go, no, I can't believe it, or just let them find out because there's this beautiful treasure trove of Star Wars history that's out there to be discovered?
If anything, what I kind of say is, if those people are the same people who are fairly unconstructively negative towards a sequel trilogy, do you know what? Just wait 5-10 years, because if you were 8 when you saw The Phantom Menace and that was the greatest thing that you saw, there will be kids who saw The Force Awakens or Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, who will be exactly the same. And then when the next like iteration of Star Wars comes along in like 10, 15 years time, let's say, after like Mandoverse and what have you, and it all links back up to the sequel trilogy, there will be a resurgence, maybe a reappraisal on some elements, as there has been. I mean, there's with every single Star Wars trilogy, lessons were learned and things you would probably do differently. But that's just the nature of filmmaking, and you make the best decision that you think you need to make at the time for the creative process that you're going through and for the story that you want to tell. And so there's a part of me also that kind of thinks, I hope that actually George is just a little bit smug, sat on his site, $7 billion, kind of going, you know what? It was all about Jar Jar.
Well, I think we've covered that topic very nicely on Star Wars Podcast Day or Star Wars Podcast Week. We'll be back soon with a regular episode of Making Tracks. Are you going to walk me into the outro, Mark?
I can try. Like one of those Trade Federation holographic projectors, so it'll be a little bit shakily done. But yeah, so that is all we do have time for. Now, normally on an episode of Making Tracks, we tend to have listeners' questions. So if you've been inspired to either challenge anything that myself or Mark has said in this week's episode, or have got questions that are burning in your loins that you wish to release to the world, then you can get in touch with us. And Mr. Newbold is going to tell you how you can do it.
It's all about the burning loins. If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatracks.com, or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Fanthatracks. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatracks intro, Adam O'Brien for our Making Tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatracks Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks. And every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, fanthatracks.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatracks TV and Fanthatracks Radio are absolutely free. So no Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
Awesome, buddy. Well, look, thank you very much. It's been good fun. It's been brief and short and sharp and quick. It's not a bad thing. So everybody, stay safe and hopefully you'll join us on the normal week's episode of Making Tracks. And so until then, have a fantastic Star Wars week, whatever that is to you. And of course, may the Force be with you.
Coming up next on FanthaTrax Radio, it's Start Your Engines.
Which is generally how the missus likes it anyway.